Coming up on iOS today, Rosemary Orchard and I, Micah Sargent, are going to get on board with iPad games. Stay tuned for the explanation of that pun.
Podcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
This is iOS Today with Rosemary Orchard and Micah Sargent, episode 653, recorded Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. Get on board for iPad gaming fun. This episode of iOS Today is brought to you by Delete Me. Reclaim your privacy by removing personal data from online sources. Protect yourself and reduce the risk of fraud, spam, cybersecurity threats, and more by going to joindeleteme.com/twit and using code TWIT for 20% off. And by Grammarly Go. You'll be amazed at what you can do with Grammarly Go. Go to grammarly.com/go to download and learn more about Grammarly Go. And by Electric E-Bikes. Celebrate your mom and give her all the freedom that comes with electric e-bike. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more and explore the epic models Electric has to offer. Welcome back to iOS Today, the show where we, Rosemary Orchard and I, Micah Sargent, talk all things iOS, iPadOS, tvOS, watchOS, HomePodOS, and all the OSs Apple has on offer. We love to help you make the most of those beautiful, wonderful Apple devices you have by showing you apps and features and services that you can get to make your experience even better. This week, we are playing games, not with your heart, but with our iPads. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Micah Sargent.
And I am Rosemary Orchard. And if anybody's there going, wait, board games? Wait, that's just so dry. Well, don't worry. This episode's going to be plenty of fun for you. So, or at least I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, your classic board games can become board games in the sense that I'm not a huge fan of things like Monopoly, for example. I find that game to be just absolutely grueling, even in its, whenever it's properly played, following the instructions, it just is so, it is just like input X, output Y, you go around the board. I just don't like it, I guess is what I'm saying. No. But there are so many other board games out there that I have been sort of shown and to realize that there's just so much more that you can do. And it turns out that some of these are board games you can play on your iPad itself and play with friends in some cases. So yeah, Rosemary, let's talk about some of the options that are out there. And I want to say too, before we do get into things, as we're talking about these, you are going to hear, especially in the first few games, some prices that may seem a little expensive to you, but understand that I don't know the last time you've bought a board game, you out there who's listening to this, but if you go to the store and you buy a board game, chances are that board game is going to be anywhere between $20 and $50 here in the United States. And of course, yes, there is a physical part of that. You're getting printed out cards and you're getting something that's going to be available for as long as you can keep it going. But the prices that you hear for some of these apps are, at least half of the costs that you would experience if you went into the store and bought them. So they may seem kind of expensive whenever it comes to them being compared to other apps that are available in the App Store. But just keep that in mind, that this is, a sort of replayable, reusable experience that is meant to be like a digital board game. So with that, Rosemary, tell us your thoughts and our first option.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wanted to start by saying that if your experience with board games thus far has been Monopoly and Scrabble, then you really are missing out. And there are so many great games that you can play out there, which are so much better. And there's a reason why, if you search for how to stop Monopoly arguments at Christmas, one of the suggestions is try other board games before divorce, because there are so many great games out there. And one of the ones I wanted to mention today is a game that I've been really enjoying, and I've been playing this in physical form, but there is also an iPad version, and that game is called Wingspan. Now, there are various levels of complexities when it comes to board games. There are very simple games, which, you know, might be sort of card games like Snap and things like that, going all the way up in difficulty level. And Wingspan's probably at the higher level. But essentially, your goal in Wingspan is to collect birds, and birds mean points. Birds have nests, and you can lay eggs on those nests. And sometimes they have bonuses on them. So, for example, here I've got Spike's Pipit. Or I did have it when I was moving around. I'll just tap on another one to show folks. And so now I've got a black crowned night heron. This one's worth 9 points. I can find out a bit about it. It's Wingspan. It's 112 centimeters. And it has a little activation action. And what I really like about this game is how they've sort of added animation to it. So I don't have the audio playing at the moment, but obviously when you're playing a board game in person, it's kind of static. You know, you've got things that are just there and you can pick them up and move them around. But what they've done here, there's cherry blossom. There's a little lovely gazebo in the background. And they've really just sort of made the point of animating this. So as I touch on that little bush there, it's moving and shedding some flower blossom. And sometimes some of the bird cards, when you tap on them, can actually animate a little bit. There we go. Sprague's Pipit is back. And there we go. It's doing a little animation, and there's even a song for it. This is a really great game. I have to say, if you get the physical version, it is beautiful, and it's nicely printed, and it's usually sort of £40 or more. And this version is $9.99 to download. Now, the only thing I'm going to say about this is it took me a little while to figure out how I needed to interact with it, because I kind of skipped the tutorial because I know how to play the game. But it turns out you're dragging and dropping instead of tapping, and that's what you need to do with it. But it's really nice the way that they have taken all of those physical elements of the game and brought it together. I don't want to try and explain the whole game because it will sound very complicated and overwhelming, but you can play it in less than an hour with friends. And the iPad version will let you either play by yourself, which is something you can do in Wingspan, or play with people, or play against the computer. And there's also an Autonoma version, which is built into Wingspan, which you can play against the game itself as well, if you would like to. And that's all built into this. It's an official copy of the game, and it's really beautiful.
Nice. That was going to be my question, if there was a way to play with other people, or if this was a solitaire style game where you just are sort of playing with the cards as they're dealt. So it's nice that you have that experience that you can. Now, whenever you're playing with others, is it a matter of passing an iPad around, or is it that it's networked? How does the multiplayer feature work in Wingspan?
Well, so there's a couple of different options, which I've got up here. So first of all, I've got my first player, which is a human, and that's me. And then the second player I've set up is AI Easy. But if I want to, then I can play against other humans here in person. And that's the regular play. There is also the option to play online, where it will go ahead and log me in. I can choose my username, which I haven't done that yet. So I will just do that. So if anybody does want to try and play me in Wingspan later, then hopefully that would be my name. And I've even chosen a color. And there we go. I'm going to go with the nice seasonal background. And you can, so this is playing against.
Got it. So yeah, you could do a custom game. Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, I did also want to mention, over in the settings, there's some nice little bits. There's trivia activation, so you can get trivia for every bird that's played, for new birds that are played. Never, you can control, for example, the music versus the sound effects volume and all of that to give you a really nice little experience. And this is available in English, Polish, German, French, Spanish, Portuguese, That's Japanese and Russian, as well as Chinese and Cantonese. So Mandarin and Cantonese, Italian, and a number of other languages. I believe that's Thai, but I'm not 100% certain. But they've made the effort to make this available to a lot of people in a lot of languages, and mine is now not in English. It's now back in English. Wonderful. So I'm actually going to know what's going on here. But yes, there's animations, habitat descriptions, all sorts, so that you can truly enjoy this. And another thing about this sort of game is it can be much more accessible for some people instead of having to, you know, pick up cards and things like that and move things around physically where you don't necessarily know where stuff is on a table and what is what. A lot of these games, although great, don't necessarily have, for example, markings on the different sides of the dice to let you know what is what. Of course, by being able to use voiceover in a game like this, then you can actually bypass that problem and jump straight into having fun with your friends and family.
Beautiful. So that is Wingspan, the board game, available for in the US $9.99 on the App Store.
Yes, all I should note the in-app purchases are the expansion packs, which are available as physical expansion packs as well for the physical game. There are in-app purchases, but they are for the expansion packs that you can buy in person anyway.
The next one really fits within the sort of scope of the way I introduced the show. It's a very popular, well-known game. It's Ticket to Ride, available for $6.99 in the App Store, or $3 to add extra boards to the game. Now, Ticket to Ride, of course, is the railway building game where you are competing with other players to try and kind of be the most dominant railway on the map. You want to sort of try to take over other railways, or in some cases block other railways from being able to continue their building. And so, yes, it makes you into quite the competitive railway mogul, as it were. And I'm curious, I've not played the digital board game version of Ticket to Ride. What are your thoughts on the experience?
Honestly, Micah, as I've played this over time, and I've got some of it up here on my screen at the moment, where I'm just restoring some of the purchases that I already had, I found this really easy to play, because one of the things with board games is you can often end up with lots of little pieces sort of dotted around your room. You know, cats are coming in trying to eat them, dogs are playing with them, you know, somebody knocks something off the table. And especially in Ticket to Ride, where you are trying to build, you know, long railway sections, if you've got a rickety table, that's kind of a problem. But if you are playing the digital version of Ticket to Ride, then of course that's not a problem. And this has both a local version as well as pass and play. So the difference between those is the local version. Other people can download like the app on their phone as well and connect it, so that you've kind of got your pieces in front of you, and then the iPad sits in the middle as though it were the board in the game. Whereas the pass and play is, you know, you pass the iPad to the next person for them to play it, which, yeah, it's quite nice to have both of those options available.
I agree. Yeah. Now, Ticket to Ride, I think, is what I like about this game just in general is it's quick to sort of pick up on. You can understand it pretty quickly. There's not a whole lot of you know, special extra secret features that you can kind of learn over time, or not features, but sort of movements. And so I think this is a great way to kind of get into the digital board game area and give it a go with Ticket to Ride. Now, this next game I absolutely despise, but it's one of the most popular games among board game people, particularly as a way for people to kind of like, when you get together, you kick off your night of board gaming with this game. So I think people will be happy to hear that there's a digital version, but I wish this game just didn't exist at all. Tell us about the next one on the list, Rosemary.
Well, you and I, Micah, differ greatly when it comes to Carcassonne. So Carcassonne is a game where you are attempting to build a world. I've just entered it and I've launched into the tutorial mode. So you it's walking me through what I need to do. But essentially, you get stacks of tiles and you need to try and place them so that you can do things like line up your roads. Your roads do have to join up. Then you can choose to place your meeple in various places. And your meeple will help you claim things like fields and castles and roads and more. There's even a dragon in one of the expansion packs. At the end of the game, you tally it up and you get points for various things like sizes of castle, the number of roads you have, the number of fields you have, etc. And it all adds up. It's quite nice having it as a digital version. I'm just going to see if I can skip through the tutorial because I wanted to go back to some of the settings. But there are local and online versions that you can play. And local is either a solo match or a pass and play. There are also rules for not just the base game and tutorials for it, but also the various expansion packs available. Because, of course, with many of these games, there are expansions that you can use to extend your time playing them and hopefully maybe extend Micah into some enjoyment. I personally like Carcassonne. This one is available. And what I really love about this, it's $4.99 in the App Store. There are in-app purchases for some of the expansion packs, but it's just $4.99 to buy the official version of this board game. It's good fun to play. It's very different to some other games because there is no board that you are based around or anything. You are just building it. So if you were playing this in person, I'd recommend having a large flat surface available, preferably one free of interruptions from pets and small children. The iPad works quite well as well. If you've got a 12.9-inch iPad Pro, I've got the 11-inch here, which it works pretty well, but the 12.9-inch would be even better for most of these games just because it's going to give you even more space to see all of that stuff.
I am looking forward to the emails I'm going to be getting about this game. I'm happy that folks like this game. That's great for you. I'm happy about it. All right, moving right along. Let's talk about Love Letter, the card game. I actually had not heard of this game before today, and I am looking forward to getting this game for sure.
Well, if you love romance or the idea of romance, and you love the idea of winning the heart of a princess, be that, you know, whatever form they end up embodying for you, then you may enjoy Love Letter. Love Letter is a game. I've not actually played the game. It's been on my list of games to play, but I've just never had the opportunity to play it with folks in person because I didn't have a copy. And whenever I was with folks, we didn't have it with us. Well, now I've got it on my iPad so I can play it with folks. There is a single player mode and then there's an online mode as well. But essentially what you're doing is you are trying to win the heart of the princess. And you can have two cards in your hand. You have to draw cards and play them or discard them, etc., to try to get closer to that princess. I'm going to just start it quickly in the learn to play mode. It will walk you through it. And you essentially are trying to get your love letter all the way to Princess Annette in this case. Everybody has a card to start with. They draw one and now they must play. And you have to try and get rid of the other players. There's a bit of competition to it as well as luck. There's lots of different characters. There's eight kinds of characters. There's guards, priests, barons, handmaidens, princes, kings, countesses. And of course, there's the princess as well. And the cards that you draw represent the different kinds of people involved. So this is the priest, for example. And that's the person who is currently carrying your message. And so your goal is to try and get it to her. It's one of those things. I've heard great things about the game. And I've gone through the tutorial once already for this and I enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to playing it and I'm saving it for an opportunity when I can actually play it with some friends instead of just doing it in single player mode, because as I'm sure some people are aware, sometimes games in single player mode or two player mode can be a very different game to playing it with a group of people. I think I will enjoy this more if I play it with some friends.
Absolutely. Then let's quickly talk about Catan, right? Is it Catan or is it Catan? I've heard it said both ways.
Catan.
Okay.
I always say Catan. I think Catan or Catan, C-A-T-A-N. It's one of those games where a lot of people have had a bad experience playing it once when they've played it before. So my friend group and I have instituted a rule of if you can tell within like the first 5 to 10 turns or the first sort of 20 minutes that somebody is definitely going to lose, we scrap the game and we start over, because sometimes you can just be dealt a really bad deck of hand cards and you can't go from there. There are a couple of different versions of Catan available in the App Store. There's Catan Universe, which is available for free. And then there's also Catan for... I think it was Catan Play and Catan Play HD, which are available. And the Catan Universe is online play only, where you can register online and sign up and play against yourself or friends and family. Then the Catan Classic, sorry, is what it's called. There's Catan Classic, which is for iPhone, and Catan Classic HD for iPad, each of which are $4.99. And then in-app purchases for expansions are $1.99 to $4.99 or $9.99 to unlock them all if you wanted to. But essentially what you want to do in Catan is build a world. Not dissimilar to Carcassonne in some ways, except that these tiles are hexagons. Has my image just changed for everybody? Yeah, okay. Some people might know hexagons are the best cons, your aim as you go is to not only do the best thing for you, but also sometimes to deliberately prevent other players from playing things. So you will not necessarily want them to be able to do things. And this can be a really good fun game. It's often a game that people move to from something like Monopoly, where they've had it with their family and friends and Monopoly over the holidays. And so they try Catan next. And it's a game that I've personally enjoyed many times. So you'll need to watch out for the barbarians. But it's good fun either way.
So yes, Catan, you've definitely got to check that out if you've played Catan in person. I love that you and your friends have that kind of policy in place, because I think that you're right. That is what's kind of kept people from wanting to play the game or enjoy the game, rather. That's what's kept people from wanting to enjoy the game. Before we come back with even more board games you can play on your iPad, I do want to take a quick break to tell you about our first sponsor of this episode. It is Delete Me. Have you ever searched for your name online and then looked at just how much information was out there and, you know, found yourself a little upset about how much of your personal information was available to other people? Did it make you feel exposed or unsafe? Well, since 2010, Delete Me has been on a mission to empower individuals and organizations by allowing them to reclaim their privacy and help them remove personal data from online sources. Delete Me's team is driven by a passion for privacy and a commitment to making it simple for customers to use. Delete Me helps reduce risk from identity theft, credit card fraud, robocalls, spam, cybersecurity threats, harassment, and unwanted communications overall. Delete Me is the most trusted privacy solution available, helping thousands of customers remove their personal information online. The average person has more than 2,000 pieces of data about them online, and Delete Me can find and remove that data. Think about how much time that could save you from having to go and do it yourself. Delete Me has removed more than 50 million pieces of data for their customers. And there was one customer who said, quote, "I signed up and they took it from there. Awesome service, already seeing results." You know, I've seen and also experienced a number of attempts from bad actors out there to try and get us here at Twit. I can remember receiving a text from Lisa, the CEO of the company, that was absolutely not from Lisa. And then finding out that several of my colleagues also got one of those texts. I also got a text from the head of sales that was not actually from the head of sales. And the way that the folks out there who are doing this do this is by going online and finding out information about a company, finding kind of a flow chart to figure out who exists where in the company, and then getting the information to be able to send those messages in the hopes that they can follow through with a scam. And in this case, it was, I need you right now to rush to the store and buy some Apple gift cards that I really need for this, that, and the other. Okay, Lisa, I don't think you need those. I don't think you're actually Lisa. And the way that they're doing this is because of all of this personal information that's out there online. I had a family member who, when Delete Me had sponsored another podcast of mine, they gave me, you know, a trial to be able to see the system in work. And I gave them, you know, the sort of access to it. They put in their information, and within a week, and sometimes even sooner, they started to see these changes taking place. And now they look online, you can find no information about them except what they've chosen to put out there. So social media, for example. Now, if you're wondering how Delete Me works, here's how it works. You sign up and submit some basic personal information, because I need to have that so they know what to take off, and have that removed from search engines by going to joindeleteme.com/twit. Delete Me experts will find and remove your personal information from more than 580 data brokers, helping reduce your online footprint and keeping you and your family safe. Once the removal process starts, you'll receive a detailed Delete Me report within 7 days. And it doesn't stop there, because Delete Me will continue to scan and remove your personal information every 3 months. And with automated removal opt-out monitoring, they're going to ensure that records don't get repopulated after they've been removed. So you're saying, hey, I want it to stay down. This includes names, addresses, photos, emails, relatives, phone numbers, property value, and more. And as the data broker industry expands, contracts, morphs, Delete Me continues to add new sites and features to ensure their service is both simple to use and effective in removing personally identifiable information. And since privacy exposures and incidents affect individuals differently, their privacy advisors ensure that all of their customers have the support they need when they need it. So protect yourself and reclaim your privacy by going to joindeleteme.com/twit and using the code TWIT. That's joindeleteme.com/twit with the code TWIT for 20% off. Thank you, Delete Me, for sponsoring this week's episode of iOS Today. All right, back from the break, and we are going to be talking about a game that is a pretty modern game. It's about felines that blow up.
Yeah. So some of you folks may have heard of the game Exploding Kittens. I should note there is no cruelty to actual kittens involved in the game Exploding Kittens. But essentially, in the game of Exploding Kittens, it is a card game where there is a deck of cards where there is one or more exploding kitten. And your aim in the game is to not explode, and in fact to defuse the kitten, which you could do with catnip belly rubs, kitten therapy, a laser pointer, a number of different things. And so I'm just going through the tutorial in Exploding Kittens at the moment. This app is $1.99 to download. And it will, as you go through, tell you what the different cards do when you tap on them. And then you can play a card. So I'm going to say, okay, let's reverse this and play it backwards. And then I have to draw a card in order to end my turn. And ooh, I've got blind. I've got the blind cat. So you need to get two cats of the same kind to be able to steal a card from another player. But there is the option to play with friends, where you can host or join a private game, or play with strangers online, or you can play by yourself in a single player match. And then within the settings, you can, of course, report people if there's anything bad going on. And you can turn on and off the sound and contact support if you need to. And, of course, there are avatars, which are a variety of interesting things. I'm going to pick the pink one. This app is just $1.99 to download and have fun with. And if you've enjoyed the game Exploding Kittens before, or you think you might enjoy it, it's a great way to give it a try and see what's up, and if you will actually want to play it again, perhaps, or just play it by yourself.
All right. That's Exploding Kittens. Definitely worth checking out. And in the continuation of card games, there's one game that I cannot play because if I play this game, I just don't like me. I don't like the person I've become when I play Uno. But if you're okay with the person who you become when you play Uno, yes, you can play Uno in the App Store. And in fact, I can't remember if it was, there are two different ways you can play Uno via this app, but there's also a little iMessage app that has Uno built into it. And I've played that with family in the past. But again, I've banned myself from playing Uno because I get way too competitive with this ridiculous game. But tell us about the sort of digital board game version of this, Rosemary.
Well, the digital board game version of this is Uno as you probably know it. It's got the different cards in for the, you know, the wild card, super card, etc. It does also prompt you to clean up the table to start with. So I'll just pop in my age here because I haven't been signed into this for a little while and sign in using Game Center, which is an option. You don't have to sign in using Game Center. You can sign in using Apple or Facebook to play instead, but you will need to sign in to play Uno Mobile. And I'm a pro at Uno, so hopefully, or I'm hoping that I'm a pro at Uno. So the app is free to download. And then there is, I believe it's an in-app purchase option, which I'm just going to verify, to play with friends. So you get 10 games with friends for free. And then after that, there is a further in-app purchase option, which is, there we go. So yeah, I think it's, you can buy the sale pack. It looks like it would be $1.99 to unlock a fair number of games with friends, but I'll just pop this into classic mode. And of course, you have to go through and set this up. So you need to try and get points to unlock more things with coins, which is not great, but this is the official Uno app, sadly. I guess I'm playing against Derek, Michael, and Carlos. Carlos is Blueberries. So I don't know how well I'm going to do with this. These are players that I've never played against before. But I guess I'll pop down the 9, seeing as it's suggesting that, and just hope for the best here. It's quite fun because the board is very 3D, and I'll just move away from this and exit the game. Sorry, folks who are playing against me. I am hopefully going to be able to leave that. There we go. It's good fun. I've enjoyed playing it before. It works, it worked very well for me as I've played it. And it's one of those ones where the app developer has a couple of other apps available on the App Store as well, including Skipbo, which some of you may have heard of. But then a game that I have really enjoyed for a long time called Phase 10 or Phases 10, for those of you who are German speakers. And this is a Rummy-based card game. This is intended to be used in portrait mode, which is why it's kind of small if you're watching the video on my iPad. But essentially, there are 10 phases to go through, and you need to, complete the challenge for whatever the phase is in order to be able to progress to the next phase. You get points, and if you get stuck on a phase, then you have to continue. And if you succeed, you can move to the next level. So you pick up cards, you play cards, you discard cards, and you hope that you win at the end of the game. I often don't win at this, apparently, at least in recent times, but I've certainly been enjoying it regardless.
All right. Let's round things out a little bit. Any other special mentions, and then also a way to keep track of your scores in while you're gaming? I think this is a really important one if you're going to be playing, particularly in person, passing around the device.
Well, it's funny you should say round things out, Micah. I think you must have looked at the app that I was going to mention next, because the next game I was going to mention, there are a few different names for very similar games for this. There's Reverse Eye, Othello, and so on. This game, this app is called Reverse Color. It's entirely free on the App Store. And the developer's name is, Sonia. I'm just going to double check what her surname is. Marcarelli, Sonia Marcarelli. It's entirely free. There's no in-app purchases or ads or anything. And essentially what your aim to do is the board will be filled with tokens at the end of the game. There are black and there are white tokens. It starts with diagonals in the middle of two black and two white tokens. And when you put your token down, you must flip the tokens in between. So I'm just going to pop down a black token here at the bottom, and it's going to flip the other tokens for me quite nicely between all of the others that are around. And I just have to attempt to win, and the player at the end with the most of their color on the board is the winner. And I've been playing this for a little while earlier, so I have officially won that game, which I'm quite pleased about. That's possibly the first time I've actually won this. Yeah, it's free to play and fun to play, and it doesn't take very long either. And it's one of these games where the setup and skill level required is not huge, but you can definitely get better over time fairly easily.
Awesome. All right. Any more?
Yes. Well, the last app I wanted to mention is an app for keeping score, because sometimes you need to be able to keep score of a game as you play it in person, and it can be a little tricky. The good news is there's an easier way to do that. So I have an app here. It's free to download and play, and it's called Score Anything. Okay. So I can add more players. So I'm going to set this up so it's now got three players. And then what I can do is I can actually, change this so that I can play, give each player a name, or give the game a name. So I'll just call this Cascadia for the time being. It's a game I've been playing. It's not one I would necessarily score with this. But then I can do my player setup. So player here, I'm going to pick a nice green color and give them a name. And I'm going to say that this is Micah. Awesome. And then over here, I'm going to set this player to purple, and I'm going to call this player Rose. And then I'm going to put this one here, and I'm going to put Leo in the studio, and he can be in yellow. And now what I can do, on my iPad, on my iPhone. So I've got my iPhone here and it's flat. And the idea is that you would place this somewhere where people can then see their scores, but I can rotate each individual player so that whatever the orientation is, of my device, then everybody can see their scores quite nicely. So, you know, if this were on the table, Micah were over to my right, I were to my left, and Leo were in front of me where you are sitting, as the lovely audience, then this would be nice and readable to everybody. And then to increase somebody's score, you simply grab their color and move around until you've added the number of points. So Micah just got 30 points. Look at that. And I could give myself minus 5 points if I wanted, but in order to do that, I would have to enable negative scores in the game. You can also change your score step if you want to. So if your game has lots of high scoring values, then you might find it a little easier to just change it to fives or tens so that you can give yourself 35 points, for example. And I mean, I guess Leo is the chief twit, so I'm going to have to give him 40 points so that, you know, he wins the game. But there we go. It's very nice and easy to use in that it just shows people's scores as you go, and can be very useful for some games where you need to be able to keep track of things like that very easily. So, yeah, it's a nice free little app called Score Anything on the App Store.
Awesome. Yeah, that's well worth getting. It's nice to keep track, and I like the sort of organization method for it. All righty. I think it is time to move right along from the first segment of the show to head into the news. But I hope that folks, you out there, are excited to play some games on your iPads, in some cases, even on your iPhones, that will, you know, help you kind of both play in person, play online, play with your friends from across the world, all sorts of stuff. It's a great experience when you don't have the ability to get together in person, or in the case where you don't have the ability to get the physical board game, knowing that you could quickly go get one of these apps, download it, and then suddenly you and your friends have something to do after you've gathered to watch a show or whatever it happens to be. Let's look at the news now. And the first story here is a sad one. Leo Laporte and I both have talked about our appreciation for and use of bridge devices, BRYDGE. These are iPad cases slash keyboards that were made by a company called Bridge. And Bridge was sort of thoughtful about making a case slash keyboard that fit perfectly with the iPad, that would connect to the iPad via Bluetooth, that would have the features and functionality that you would expect from a keyboard that was connected to the iPad. Later, they created a special keyboard that actually had a trackpad, which was awesome. But Apple ended up making a trackpad keyboard case of its own. And now, the company has basically ended. The company was not able to pay some of its staff, folks who had ordered things from the company. Those orders are unfulfilled, and the company has simply folded. Now, this 9to5 Mac article does go into some detail about, the quote mismanagement of the company, and talking about even a hostile work environment as being part of the reason why the company ended up folding. But there's obviously, I think, another elephant in the room, which is Apple's own creation of its devices, and then the company's partnership, with Logitech, that made for third-party keyboard options and case options that came from a larger, more well-known company. So kind of a lot of stuff happened all at once that ended up resulting in this failing. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, Rosemary.
Well, I tried to order the Bridge keyboard for my 11-inch iPad Pro back in, I guess it was October or so last year. So I was ordering the Bridge Max Plus, which was the one with the extra big trackpad on it, because I thought, you know, this looks really nice. It's got its own battery life. You could use the battery in the Bridge keyboard to recharge your iPad if necessary. It's backlit. Okay, these things are bigger and heavier. I do actually have a Bridge here for the 11-inch iPad, but it doesn't have a trackpad on it. But, you know, I really enjoyed typing with it. And I ordered it, and it said that it would ship within sort of 5 to 7 days. And so I figured it would be with me in like a week or 2 weeks. 10 days later, I didn't even have an email about like an order update or anything. So I contacted them, and they told me that there had been a systems failure at their warehouse, and that they didn't know when they were going to be able to fulfill my order. And that if I wanted, I could have a refund instead. And I thought, not knowing when you're going to be able to dispatch something when it's surely predominantly like an inventory or something problem, that seems problematic. I'll take the refund. Thanks very much. But yeah, it's just one of those things where I feel like I had a lucky escape there now, because they clearly were having problems then, which, you know, as if you go through and read this article, which I believe is Chance Miller has done a great job on. He's got a lot of detail in there. You'll see that they definitely were having problems back in November. But unfortunately, it's just one of those things over time. You know, they did develop a bit of a relationship with Apple, so they knew about new firmware coming for the iPad, which would improve the trackpad, but they couldn't talk about it. But they also didn't necessarily know about the new iPad models coming. And that meant that when a new iPad model released, it could be a while before Bridge was available for that. And I know that I wanted to get a Bridge keyboard for my iPad mini. I think it was the iPad mini 5th gen, not the 6th gen, that I was looking at it for. And it was just months and months and months before it was even talked about. And then they definitely did one for the 4th generation iPad mini, but I'm not sure if they did one for the 5th in the end. But it's one of those things where if you can't release the product fairly quickly after the product comes out, especially with Apple's almost yearly releases for these things, it's going to be tricky to stay in the game when I can order Apple's Magic Keyboard and have that delivered probably before the iPad. It's a shame that they have folded, and they took Henge Docs with them. They bought Henge Docs a while ago. it's one of those things where I have heard numerous reports of very delayed orders and customer service problems where just people wouldn't get responses. Not that customer service was bad, but I guess there just weren't enough of them to answer all of the questions that they were getting. And yeah, it's a shame that this has happened.
All right. I do want to quickly mention before we take another break, and we will be covering, we'll be taking another look at Apple Arcade soon. But Apple did put out a press release talking about some new games that have come to Apple Arcade. There's a common theme now where you will see games that existed in the App Store before existing in Apple Arcade. And essentially what they do is they just add a plus sign at the end of it. So it's easy for you to recognize games that have existed in the App Store before. Now, of course, there are a couple of things to understand about Apple Arcade. One is that it is a subscription service. And so you pay every month, maybe as part of a larger plan or just on its own. And in return, you get some games that are Apple Arcade exclusives. And what's great about that is Apple Arcade games do not have in-app purchases. So these are games that you can play without a lot of those free-to-play mechanics that get in the way of, I feel, that can get in the way of enjoyment. So there may be some games that exist that have been free-to-play mechanic-based games in the App Store that you could now check out via Apple Arcade. So some of the sort of games that have come over to Apple Arcade include Farming Simulator 20, a game called Getting Over It, which is just an odd game. You're essentially this person who gets inside of it looks like an iron pot, and you have a hammer. And you use the hammer to grab onto things and move yourself, propel yourself through the game. It's a very goofy looking game, but it's a physics game. And you unfortunately it's one of those games where frustration is part of the mechanic, because you are anytime you don't make it to the next part, then you have to restart that level. And so it does have a bit of frustration involved. But if you can make it to the end, then you get to feel pretty good about that. Octodad is another game that a lot of people like, the physics-based Octodad game. And that has made its way into Apple Arcade. So if you are an Apple Arcade subscriber, do check out what's come to Apple Arcade. If you are not an Apple Arcade subscriber, this could be the reason that you become one. Yeah. I do want to mention Apple Arcade, Rosemary, I'd love to get your thoughts on this, but I do want to mention Apple Arcade, as I said, a subscription. It's available for $4.99 per month if you buy it individually, or again, as Apple One's own plan. It has a lot of stuff built into it. But yeah, Rosemary, any thoughts on this?
Well, I did just want to say for folks who haven't necessarily looked into this before, there are a whole bunch of Disney apps as well available as part of this. And so anybody who has kids who might like Disney Coloring World Plus or Disney Getaway Blast, which is sort of a Bejeweled type game where you've got, gems that you pop by grouping them together, then, there's definitely a lot in there as well. And there's one that I'm really looking forward to trying, actually, which is Disney Spellstruck, which is Disney and Words with Friends creating a new sort of Scrabble style game, which is a little further as near the top of the list in the Apple Arcade article. So it's a shame that Apple don't actually have the link so that you can just link people right to the correct part of the news bit. But I'm looking forward to having a go with that and some of the other games. Maybe we'll have to talk about that in a future episode, Micah.
Absolutely. All right. Let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our sponsor this week before we come back with just a few more news stories, and then we will head into Shortcuts Corner. I want to tell you about Grammarly Go, which is bringing you this episode of iOS Today. Of course, nowadays we're communicating quicker than ever. And sometimes you have a moment where you can feel a little stuck. Whether you're struggling to write a thank you note or struggling to create a business plan, you can give yourself a helping hand with Grammarly Go, which is Grammarly's new communication assistant powered by generative AI. You can compose intelligently, type a prompt into Grammarly Go to generate high-quality writing so you can spend less time on wordsmithing. You can personalize your voice so that it's customized to you. Customize your preferred style of communication by clicking Set Voice or the tone indicator at the top of the Grammarly Go window to personalize your tone and determine how you want to sound. So if you want a more formal tone, then you choose casual, neutral, or formal. Obviously, you choose formal to get that more formal tone, casual for a less formal tone. And then you can also choose personable, confident, empathetic, engaging, witty, or direct as the overall tone of the text. Grammarly Go understands your unique context, your preferred voice, and your goals, and uses that to generate high-quality writing quickly. With just a few clicks, you can ideate, compose, rewrite, and reply thoughtfully. You can rewrite for tone, clarity, and length. Grammarly Go helps you fine-tune your writing to reflect your personal style and be effective in any situation. Select the text that you want to rewrite and activate Grammarly Go. You can rewrite your paragraph to sound more exciting. You can make it sound more professional. You can make it sound more inspirational. So Grammarly Go is a great tool when you're working on something and you feel stuck. You feel like you need to figure out what's next. That's where Grammarly Go can be helpful to provide some polish, to provide some thoughts on how you can kind of rewrite the text to make it more you, but also to help clarify things. I think that's what's great about it. So I think you will be amazed at what you can do with Grammarly Go. Just go to grammarly.com/go to download and learn more about Grammarly Go. That's grammarly.com/go. Thank you, Grammarly, for sponsoring this week's episode of iOS Today. Grammarly Go. Grammarly.com/go. All right, back from the break, let's talk about Apple Music Live. Apple Music Live is, as you might imagine, live performances from Apple Music, and it will, this season is going to kick off on May 10th on Apple TV Plus, and of course, you'll find it in the Apple Music app with Ed Sheeran. So this is a live performance series, and this is, as I mentioned, the second season of Apple Music Live. It will debut Wednesday, May 10th at noon Pacific on Apple Music. You can go to apple.co/AML Ed Sheeran. That's Apple Music Live, Ed Sheeran. And it's also going to be available to stream on Apple TV Plus. This is the first season of Apple Music Live featured Harry Styles and also Billie Eilish, I guess, performed as well. So we've seen some great performances in the past, and there's actually an Apple Music Live archive. So you can look back on what's been there in the past. So there's Alicia Keys, WizKid, Harry Styles, Billie Eilish, someone called Lil Durk. Luke Combs and the Mary J. Blige. So it's great that this is sort of slowly building out a library of content that you can enjoy. And we will next see Ed Sheeran tomorrow as we record this episode. This will debut. All right, moving right along, it is time to talk about an announcement this morning. Very exciting. Apple will soon be bringing Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro to the iPad. This has been a long time wish of iPad users everywhere. I have heard this sort of request, desire more than many. I think the only other thing that sort of eclipses this is Xcode on iPad. But outside of that, I've heard people say, please, it was specifically with Final Cut Pro, please bring Final Cut Pro to the iPad. Now, these apps will not launch until May 23rd. Rosemary Orchard and I are planning on taking the week of May 23rd to try out these apps so that we can talk to you about them the following week. So we'll give you that deep dive into Final Cut Pro and Logic Pro via the iPad on that, hopefully on that next Tuesday. And when these launch on May 23rd, it is important to note that these apps will be available with a subscription. So this is a little interesting. Both of them will be available for $4.99 a month or $49 a year. You get 1 month free to use them. And then from that point, of course, you'll be paying for them. But there's already a lot of information about these apps via the press release. And I am looking forward to trying these apps out. It'll be interesting to see how they work on a device. I can remember Rosemary talking to someone. They were kind of asking me, I'm planning on doing this, this, and this. What should I get? And I talked about how in the past, when I've done video editing, I have, maybe done some stuff for cutting the clips elsewhere. But in actually sort of exporting the final video, in the past, I would use my iPad over my Intel Mac because the iPad would export the video much quicker. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the performance of Apple Silicon on iPad playing a role in being able to quickly move along the timeline, make little cuts, add filters and effects, all sorts of stuff. I think this is a very exciting addition to the iPad Pro that takes it to the next step. My one concern is how easy it's going to be to do precision editing like I can with my Mac by way of my mouse and keyboard. You know, they show on the screen. And the reason why I point that out, obviously you can connect a keyboard, you can connect a mouse, but they show on the screen someone using their finger to do some editing. And for me, I think that's a little bit not for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I had to edit some music for a friend this weekend, and I just needed to like trim off. There was some awkward silence at the start before the actual music started, and then trim out a segment in the middle. And I grabbed my iPad mini, an Apple Pencil, and Ferrite to do this, because Ferrite is the app that I know that I can just pop in and chop a little bit out here and there, and it works really well. And the Apple Pencil is actually a really great tool for that, because that really is great for precision. I know I've heard Mike Hurley before talking about how he uses a Wacom tablet to do podcast editing, because, you know, it's nice and precise, and it you know, you hold a pencil very differently to how you hold a mouse, and so it doesn't aggravate RSI so much, which is quite nice, or it at least, you know, makes your wrist move differently, which may cause RSI problems for some people or not for others. Yeah, I think it's interesting that they've chosen to go with the subscription option. But for anybody who's going, oh no, not another subscription, I feel that I should point out Final Cut Pro for Mac is $300. Logic Pro for Mac is $200. So $5 a month suddenly seems like a much better deal for this than those prices. Now, I should say that there is a student bundle where you can get all of the Apple's Pro Suite at a discount. I think that's about $239 in total. But, you know, I think a lot of people will balk at paying $300 for an iPad app. Just like we mentioned at the start, Micah, or you did, you know, some of the game apps can sound a little bit expensive. Wingspan for $9.99 sounds pretty cheap compared to $199.99 or $299.99, depending on the app. So yeah, I think they were smart going with the subscription option. And I will be interested to see if at some point this ends up unlocking the Mac app for those folks who are subscribing as well, or if not. But either way, I'm looking forward to giving this a good go and trying this out on my iPad.
Me too. I can't wait. And I can't wait to have an episode talking about it as well. And then we will quickly mention, as Apple typically does in the month of June, Apple has already announced the Watch Face and Apple Watch Band for its Pride Edition. So each year in June, you can check out the, or you, you know, Apple releases this band. This is actually coming out a little bit of ahead of time, available to pre-order on, or available to order on May 23rd, will be available in stores on May 24th for $49. It is a classic, sport band with, you know, the sort of pin closure, and it looks like little sprinkles of different colors on the band. It's a white band with a bunch of sprinkles on it, and then it matches a watch face and an iPhone background as well this year. These bands again are available every year, and when you make a purchase of the band, it will also Apple will donate some of the proceeds that it gets to LGBTQ plus advocacy groups. So that is the Pride edition that'll be coming later this month, you know, for sort of full release in June.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time. I can hear the music. It's Shortcuts Corner. This is the part of the show where you write in with your Shortcuts Corner requests, and Rosemary Orchard, the Shortcuts expert, provides a response. Welcome to Shortcuts Corner. Our first request comes in from Eric. Eric writes, Micah and Rosemary, in settings, accessibility, Siri, announce notifications on speaker, you are able to have Siri read your notifications through the phone speaker. Similar to how notifications are read it to you over AirPlay. I'd like to make this a shortcut to toggle on or off. That way I don't have to go digging around the settings each time. Can you please help?
Well, so this is something that I looked into for Eric, because there is actually a shortcuts action for notification announcements, where you can turn on and off notification announcements on your iPhone or iPad using this. Now, it doesn't work on the Mac. It only works on the... having a moment there. It only works on the iPhone and iPad, but it will then allow you to either turn on or turn off or toggle. But this is just the general announce notifications. And I wasn't sure, and maybe Micah, you know this one, if the one under settings and accessibility is actually a different one, because as far as I know, the usual announce notifications don't play over the speaker. And I wanted to make sure that we definitely get the right one here. Because
that was my understanding as well.
Yeah. So I'm just going to pop into the settings and the Siri option here. And then I will have a look at announce notifications. And it does have an option for announcing notifications on speaker. But I'm wondering if by having this on and just leaving this setting on for Eric, because obviously you can control here some options. You can say, okay, it should announce when it's connected to headphones, or what should it announce with CarPlay, and should it reply without confirmation? What app should it announce notifications from? But there's another setting for announce notifications, which you can then just turn on and off. So I currently have announce notifications on, and I'm just going to turn this off using that shortcut that I had. And It's you know, announce notifications in general is off, but announce notification on speaker is on. So if just toggling announce notifications on and off will do what Eric wants, so that he can have notifications on, like as in being announced, and not have notifications being announced, and then like the speaker bit just stays enabled, then this will work. So this is a single action shortcut. You don't need to do anything complicated with it. If you just go into the shortcut sections and then, sorry, it's not under settings. It's actually categorized as a Siri action where you can, but if you search for announce, then when the actions pop up and then when they actually process what it's searching for and stop showing completely random search results, then set announce notifications is the name of the action. And so that's the one that you would want there. And so you can have that, and you can have it just toggle. But what you can also do, Eric, which may be useful to know, is you can turn your control center into having announce notifications enabled. So I'm just going to turn this back on in my Siri settings. And there we go. Look at this. So in my control center, I have the option, oops, which I've just stepped away from, to announce notifications. And I can turn that on and I can turn that off in my control center. And better still, I can see the status of it. So I think this is a little bit of a guess. So you'll have to write back and let us know if we get this right, Eric, that you just want to turn on and off announcing notifications and leave it on announce notifications on speaker all the time. And then fingers crossed, that will do the trick for you. And that's all you need.
That is, yeah, I think that's a great way to do it. The sort of bigger effect is on, but the specific one gets toggled off, and that sounds like what you'd want. That's great.
Hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Let us know, obviously. Dave has written in. Apparently, Dave. Oh, and I forgot to mention, thank you, Matthew Casanelli, for joining Rosemary Orchard last week for doing the show. I appreciate it. Very grateful to you and you, Rosemary, for doing the show last week. Thank you both. But Dave has written in. Hello, Rosemary. I wanted to thank both you and Matthew Casanelli for taking the time to teach me how to write a shortcut that patches a record in my Airtable database. I struggled with this and had no clue where to begin. Your explanation made perfect sense. I downloaded your sample shortcut from the show notes and I began copying your actions into my own shortcut. I then configured everything to work with my Airtable. It works perfectly, exactly what I wanted. Thank you so much. Last week, I purchased the second edition of your book, Take Control of Shortcuts. I love it. It will be a big help for me writing new shortcuts and enhancing old shortcuts. You're the best, Dave. We should include in the show notes a link to the book, because everybody should, who loves this part of the show, go get Rosemary's book, Take Control of Shortcuts. It's incredibly helpful and also inspiring, I think. Do you want to remind folks who may have watched last week or listened last week, or even folks who may have just tuned in for the first time, what was Dave trying to fix? He said patching a record. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last week, Dave wrote in and was explaining he'd gone through the whole process of he could create records in Airtable. So he could have this fabulous database, which is very friendly and easy to use and bright and colorful, have the data and add data to it. But he then wanted to update data. And that was the bit that he was struggling with because, you know, it's a little difficult to just be like, okay, hi, I need this new thing. Here's some data. And then it's a bit difficult to go, I need to update this specific thing right here, please. Because this specific thing right here means that you need to know the ID of that thing so that you can update it. And that was the bit that was going to be a bit tricky. And so we were able to give Dave some piece of advice about either using searches through Airtable's API so that he could find that one specific thing that he wanted, or creating a view in Airtable so you could do all of the heavy work in the lovely, pretty user interface and then just taking that so that then you could be like, okay, and now I'm going to use this and just get the first one from here because there's only ever one of those and just work with that. And so, yeah, we gave Dave some advice on that. And I also mentioned, and Dave has correctly noted, he's patching a record because if you patch it, then what you're doing is you've got your record and you're just saying, okay, these bits, I need to update these. But if you post, then you're saying, hey, this whole thing, sweep it away and put up a new one. And so he's patching it because he's adding data to it instead of replacing all the data that's there. So I'm really glad that that worked for you, Dave. And I did want to mention that there is like a whole section on Airtable in Take Control of Shortcuts because I love the app. It's very useful. It's a very useful service. And it's a really great way to learn how to use APIs with shortcuts. If you've got a web service that you need to interact with that maybe doesn't have a handy dandy iOS app that you could just use to interact with it, it would be lovely if Airtable had shortcut sections. But in the meantime, Dave's learned a really useful skill and I'm really happy to hear that that worked.
And then last but not least, Jeremy has written in. And Jeremy says, in episode 652, which was last week, you asked for sleep focus modes. Wait, 652? Was that last week? Yeah. You asked for sleep focus modes on iPad. Maybe it's because I listen to the show and don't watch it, but that confused me. My iPads and my Mac show that they go into sleep focus mode when my iPhone and or my Apple Watch are put into that mode. I could have sworn that focus mode across devices is normal operation. All right, Jeremy, this is a great topic because it's one where it's one of those things that I'm always asking someone, okay, let's take a look at this setting because it ends up being the problem that they're having. Anyway, go ahead. Well,
the thing is Jeremy is absolutely right. Sleep focus mode on the iPad exists. The bit that I was asking for sleep focus mode on the iPad is specific to shortcuts automations. Because on the iPhone, which if I just pop open shortcuts and I'll just switch over so that I can open a new automation here. When I go to create a new personal automation, sleep is one of the sections at the top. It's right with time of day and alarm. And sleep is the thing that is triggered by your sleep focus mode. So that means that then when I scroll down and I look at my list of focus modes, sleep isn't in this list of focus mode triggers. But when I go over to my iPad and I look at this time of day and alarm, there's no sleep. Well, that kind of makes sense because my iPad can't detect when I'm going to sleep and I'm waking up. It doesn't have the right sensors for that. It doesn't have an Apple Watch connected to it. Okay, fair enough. But then you scroll down, you look at the list of focus modes, and sleep isn't here either, which means that when my sleep focus mode enables, I can't use that to trigger a personal automation on my iPad. And that is very frustrating because I would love to be able to use like my end of day going to sleep as a, you know, reset some of these settings. So the sleep focus mode is on my iPad. Sleep focus mode as an automation trigger does not exist on the iPad. And that's what I really want. That was one of my top three wishes for this year. And the Shortcuts team have got less than a month to implement it. So I'm sure either they've already done it or maybe it's on the list for next year. But if anyone from the Shortcuts team is listening and thinks maybe I could just sneak that in there and you do, you will be my best friend forever and I will buy you chocolate if I ever meet you. Of course, I probably won't because Apple employees are notoriously secretive because they don't want to lose their jobs. But, you know, you get virtual chocolate from me at any rate.
All right. Let's take another quick break before we come back with feedback, questions, and our app caps. I want to tell you about electric e-bikes. We're bringing you this episode of iOS today. Man, electric e-bikes are so cool. And look, Mother's Day is right around the corner. So don't gift the same thing you do every year. Let's try something else instead of brunch at an overpriced restaurant or a box of mediocre chocolates. Moms do so much already. So why not give something that lasts way longer than Mother's Day brunch? Her very own electric e-bike. You can transform her day-to-day errands into fun, carefree adventures. And hey, let's be honest. What mom really needs is a little quality time to herself. Electric e-bikes will take her wherever she wants to go. I got to try out the two models of electric e-bikes that electric e-bikes sent to us, and they were both so much fun. So much fun. These very compact e-bikes, they can fold up and then unfold whenever you're ready for them. You have, of course, you know, you can pedal like normal, but they have built-in technology, as e-bikes do, to help speed you along. So being able to turn that crank and sort of zoom forward was so much fun riding around, pedaling around in the parking lot for the studio, but also in roads nearby, of course, in the bike lane. And there's something about wind in your hair feeling that is so nice while keeping it under that speed that's like, you know, when it gets to motorcycle level. I had so much fun riding these. So you out there should transform how you get around. From quick store trips to outdoor adventures, electric e-bikes created a mode of transportation that anyone can ride. With quality, feature-filled models financed as low as $73 per month, your adventures won't cost a fortune. They include a powerful, removable battery, a bright LCD display, 7-speed gearing, and 5 levels of pedal assist to power your ride. Plus, you can lower your gas costs and reduce your carbon footprint by riding around on an electric e-bike. Roam freely and reach up to 28 miles per hour with the twist of a throttle or the next level pedal assist. And what's great is that electric e-bikes are foldable, they ship free, and they ship fully assembled. Make it your own. Electric e-bikes offer a wide range of customizable and adjustable e-bike options to accommodate an array of different lifestyles. So you can get it exactly as you need it, including rides from the effortlessly fun XP Lite to a highly capable cargo e-bike, the Expedition. You saw Leo with that there, with some boxes on the back so you can do some transportation. And if you're wondering what's the history with electric e-bikes, you can join more than 250,000 dedicated riders on the road so far. Celebrate your mom and give her all the freedom that comes with electric e-bike. Visit electricebikes.com to learn more and explore the epic models Lectric has to offer. That's electricebikes.com. Lectric e-bikes, thank you so much for sponsoring this week's episode of iOS Today. All right, we are back from the break. We've got some feedback and questions. This comes from Michael J., who writes in, "Hello, Rosemary and Micah. I love your show. I learned some things and enjoy your on-air comradeship. Thanks. I do have a question. I'm hoping you can solve the dilemma I have been trying to resolve. I recorded a few minutes of a large, beautifully deep-sounding Woodstock chime I have outside my house using voice memos on my iPad Pro. I would like to use this recording to loop it for an hour or so for background music at bedtime. However, I can't find a way to bring this recording over to the iOS music app where I could put the recording in a playlist, loop the playback, and set a good night timer to it. I have a gut feeling if I hooked up my iOS device to my Mac, I may find a way to do this. Maybe not. I prefer to leave my aging Intel Macs out of this process. Thanks for any help you may be able to offer. And yes, keep wearing the hats." And then Michael has put in parentheses, "If you do not know of the Seinfeld episode when George gives the infamous answer to a question, the hats, look it up." So, yes, you can do that. But anyway, we will keep wearing the hats. Michael basically wants to take a sound, export it from voice memos, and import it into the music app to be able to play it in the music app as a recording for playback at night. This is interesting because I was thinking about how easy this would be to do if you have a Mac, as simple as dragging and dropping the file over into the music app and having it upload as long as you have iTunes Match. But to do it without a Mac, do you know how to make this happen without a Mac?
Yeah, I mean, if there is any computer in the mix, then using Apple Music or iTunes Match is going to be the easy way, because then the file can just be added to your Apple Music library, and then it will upload it and then re-download it, and then that's it. Of course, if you didn't have a cable to plug it in, you could use AirDrop, for example, to get the file to
even texting the file to yourself would let you do it.
The problem with getting the file into the music app specifically is that you are going to really you can't do it. Like, the music app is essentially its own little world and little oyster. But I did have an idea that I thought might work for Michael, because, you know, it's worth a try, right? And that's not using my iPhone. This is using my iPad. There's this app called VLC where you can just add things from, for example, your media library. And you can open stuff in VLC as well. So if I pop into, for example, the Files app, where I happen to have some audio here, then I can share this. And then if I scroll across and then have a little poke around, I will find a VLC media player right here. And then I can open this and I can just play it. And then I even have the option to repeat this Justice track or repeat everything. And so on. And then I can even add a sleep timer so that he can have an hour, which means that you don't even need to mess using the clock app with like an alarm, because I will note that you can do that. And I'll just set that playing. There we go. It works. But if we open the clock app, then I will just remind folks how you can do that. So if you create an alarm in the clock app, when you tap on sound and then you scroll down, you can actually set none, and then and that's the alarms. But on the timer side of things, when the timer ends, obviously you've got all of the various sounds, but there's also a stop playing option. And so then you can have something stop playing. But the problem with that is this is your timer. And so if you sometimes use your iPad for cooking and sometimes you use your iPad for playing music to help you go to sleep, well, it might be that your roast chicken gets a little overdone or whatever it is, because it stopped playing, but there was nothing playing. So you kind of missed your timer finishing. So I'm going to go with try downloading good old VLC media player, video LAN controller, and give that a go, Michael. And fingers crossed that will work for you.
Yes, that is interesting. And again, Michael, just if you just get your Intel Mac involved, you're going to be, this is going to be so much simpler, and then you can do it how you want to with the first process. But I love that Rosemary has the option if you do set those constraints. That's fantastic. So both ways will work. All righty, I can hear the other music. It's time to head into the App Caps. This is the part of the show where we place caps atop our heads to honor our app or gadget picks of the week. These are the apps or gadgets we're using now or have been using for some time that we want to share with all of you because we think they're great. And so without further ado, Rosemary Orchard, tell us about the cap atop your head and then tell us about your app or gadget pick for the week.
So my app cap today, which I'm just going to pick up and take off my head for those folks watching the video. Yep, it's got a union flag on it because we had a coronation this weekend here in the UK. I didn't watch the coronation or do much other than attempt to enjoy the bank holiday. I had a little bit of a cold, sadly, but I did think I would get in the theme with a hat for today's app cap. Though that said, my app cap is indeed related to the things that I was doing at the weekend because I was playing a game of Wingspan, but I was playing Wingspan in person. Now, Wingspan and many other board games in person, they come with a little sort of pad of scoring stuff in the box, which is really nice. But at some point, those are going to run out or get lost or damaged or something. And, you know, it's quite nice to sometimes just not have to worry about that and instead be able to use an app. So I've been using Wing Score to help me keep track of this. So when I go to add a new game in Wing Score, and the app is free to download, I can set the date and time of the game that I'm playing, choose the goal board, which is the different kinds of goal boards that there are in Wingspan, turn on and off various expansions. I can play against certain players. I can add players who I've previously or recently played against. So I just add myself here, for example. Now I can add another player, and I'll just add Micah, for example. There we go. So I can play against Micah today. And then I can tap save. And this is our game. And now, when we get to the end of the game, then I can fill in the scores. And so I can give myself a 50-point bird score, and Micah might have a 48-point bird score, but I maybe didn't do very well in the round bonuses. And so I could perhaps just have 4 points there, whereas Micah has managed to max it out at 20 points. Maybe I did quite well on the goals, so I get 9 points there, and Micah gets, I don't know, 6 points. And I could have, say, 10 eggs, but Micah has been all out laying eggs all over his birds, so he's got 25 eggs there. I've got 5 pieces of cached food and maybe 10 tucked cards, whereas Micah doesn't appear to have either of those. But that's okay, because Micah has still won, and I can finish scoring, add a note, and then I can also see scores for this group. So I can see that against Micah and myself, Micah has won one game and I have won exactly 0 games. But if I pop back again into a different one, then I can see that apparently I've been playing against Danny and he's won 7 games and I've won 1. I feel like I need to up my Wingspan score here. Maybe I need to get some birds with a wider reach. Who knows? But as it is, this is a great little app. It's free to download and you can score a couple of games for free. If you want those long-term statistics and so on and being able to add stuff up over time, then it is a $5.99 in-app purchase to unlock for Wing Score Premium. That's a one-time in-app purchase. Then you can see top scores. So apparently the best score in the game so far was 108 points. But Micah, you were in close second with 99 points. So that was pretty good going. I'm very impressed with you. Well done. You played a great game of Wingspan there. We skipped the 40 minutes of actual gameplay for you folks at home who are watching the video, but it's all right. I promise that's it's a like real a, score.
It's like a cooking show. You put it in the oven and then, oh, suddenly it's ready. You pull it out. All right. The cap atop my head is a yellow sun cap or like beach hat. And it has this sort of moldable ring around the outside so I can shape it in all sorts of ways, depending on where the sun's coming in or not coming in, which is kind of delightful. But the app that I want to talk about today is an app that just launched. It is the latest app from Niantic. And Niantic, of course, is the maker of the Pokemon, well, part of the maker of the Pokemon Go game, as well as other sort of GPS-based real-world games like that Harry Potter game that was around for a while and some others that have existed even longer than that. The latest is Peridot. And Peridot is available for free in the App Store to download. It does have in-app purchases for different like packs and things, but it is essentially a iPhone Tamagotchi, AR Tamagotchi. You have a little creature that's your little friend, and you can go places and sort of play with your little Peridot. You can feed it, you can grow it, you can customize it. And so I hatched my Peridot from an egg, and then it is, or and now it is alive, and I am sort of taking care of it. So it says, "Welcome, Peridot Keeper. You're now a member of the Peridot Keeper Society, a global community of Peridot caretakers." So my Peridot is very small right now, sitting on the desk, and it's now kind of bigger. So when you first start the game, you can see that the AR is trying to display my Peridot kind of large, but essentially I want you to come closer, please. You can pet your Peridot on the forehead. This is kind of messy, but right now my Peridot needs to eat and it also needs to play. So I can go to my backpack and I can get it some food. The food in your bag only lasts for so long. Each day your food will age and will eventually be removed from your bag. So you want to give your Peridot food. So it's going away to grab that food. And then it will come back and presumably will be, there you go. You can see that it is kind of getting back into a good place in terms of food. There's a sandwich in here, which is, I don't want to give it that. I want to give it a sandwich. So I can feed it a sandwich that goes and grabs that. And down at the bottom, this meter bar is showing how well it's fed. And you want to feed your Peridot every day, play with your Peridot every day to help it grow and stay happy. And anywhere on the surface, you can circle an area and have them dig into that area. And then when they do, they will, well, it's not working right now. But when they do, they will dig up like tennis balls and food and things like that. There's also different goals that you have each day. So play fetch, eat a prickly beet, eat a dandelion. I did feed, so I do reach level 3 and get some different rewards. You can teach them tricks over time, and you can also add some traits. So I can go into the food, and here's a special spring onion, which will actually teach them tricks. And the Peridot keeps bapping me because it's trying to get my attention. So I'm going to put that down for now. And obviously I need to go in and play with my Peridot. I created it, I guess, yesterday morning. And overnight it has waited for me to hang out with it. So if you're a person who has trouble sort of sticking with a game, then the Peridot might not be for you. It is definitely one of those games that a little bit like, what is it? Nintendo's, what is it called? You play a little creature. Yeah, Animal Crossing. It's sort of like Animal Crossing, where the people or the creatures are aware of the time that's passing, And so you don't want to ignore your little friend as you create your little AR pet. You can walk it around, and when you go to different surfaces, it will find different things in different surfaces. So as you're walking around, you can have it dig in those areas, and it will discover new items that will help you to train your Peridot, to feed your Peridot, to customize your Peridot. This game, I remember when it was announced many moons ago, and waiting for it to release. I had pre-ordered it, and so that pre-order was available, and I went and grabbed the game as quickly as I could. So check out Peridot. Again, available for free with in-app purchases. It's worth hopping on kind of soon, because if you do, you can get some of this sort of founders stuff that you wouldn't get otherwise. So you get to you get like special kit and special pack and a little hat that's part of the kickoff of the game. You can check that out in the App Store. And with that, we've reached the end of this episode of iOS Today. Please consider tuning in live as we record this show every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. It's great to watch at twit.tv/live. That's where you go to watch the show live as we record it. But we think the best way to get the show is by subscribing to or following the show, depending on what service you're using, by going to twit.tv/iOS. There you will find buttons to subscribe to audio or subscribe to video. You can click on those and then choose your provider. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We try to be in all the places that you are, so that you are able to get the show no matter what podcast application or service you are using. If you would like to send us feedback, questions, shortcuts, corner requests, etc., consider emailing us iostoday@twit.tv, iostoday@twit.tv. That is a great way to get in touch. And you can also get in touch when you join Club Twit at twit.tv/clubtwit. Consider joining the club for starting at $7 a month or $84 a year. When you join the club, you get every single Twit show with no ads. Yes, it's none of the ads, just the content, because you are supporting the show. You also gain access to the Twit Plus bonus feed that has extra content you won't find anywhere else, behind the scenes, before the show, after the show, special events that are published there, and access to the members-only Discord server. That is a fun place to go to chat with your fellow Club Twit members and also those of us here at Twit. And as I mentioned, another great place to leave your feedback, your questions, your app cap suggestions, etc. Twit.tv/clubtwit. Joining the club also gets you access to some exclusive Club Twit shows. There's Hands on Windows, which is Paul Thurrott's program that is a shorter format show that walks you through Windows tips and tricks. There's the Untitled Linux show, which is, as you might imagine, a show all about Linux. There's also my program, Hands on Mac, which is a show that's also short format that covers specific tips and tricks regarding not just the Mac, but your iPhone, iPad, etc. And right now I am going through a series about the Finder on the Mac. So if you want to make sure that you're making the most of the Finder on Mac, consider tuning in to Hands on Mac as part of your Club Twit subscription. twit.tv/clubtwit. There's also Scott Wilkinson's Home Theater Geeks, which recently relaunched, in the club. So all sorts of great shows there. Now, let us move along to Ask Rosemary Orchard. If folks want to follow you online and check out all the great work you're doing, where should they go to do so?
Well, the best place to go is rosemaryorchard.com, which has links to the various things I do around the internet, podcasts, books, apps, etc. And of course, you can also find me on social media at rosemary@snaildip.social on Mastodon. And naturally, I am in the Club Twit Discord, hanging out in the iOS Today channel, sneaking into the Mac Break Weekly channel every once in a while. Jason's not kicked me out yet, neither's Andy. So I figure I'm probably good to be in there every once in a while. But that's where you can find me. And of course, every Tuesday here on iOS Today. What about you, Micah?
If you're looking to follow me online, I'm at Micah Sargent on many a social media network, or you can head to chihuahua.coffee. That's chihuahua.coffee, where I've got links to many of the places I'm most active online. Thank you all for tuning in this week. I hope you're out there rolling dice and playing board games. And Rosemary and I will see you again next week for another episode of iOS Today. Goodbye.
Hey, I'm Rod Pyle, Editor-in-Chief of Ad Astra Magazine, and each week I join with my co-host to bring you This Week in Space, the latest and greatest news from the final frontier. We talk to NASA chiefs, space scientists, engineers, educators, and artists, and sometimes we just shoot the breeze over what's hot and what's not in space books and TV. And we do it all for you, our fellow true believers. So whether you're an armchair adventurer or waiting for your turn to grab a slot in Elon's Mars rocket, join us on This Week in Space and be part of the greatest adventure of all time.